You're never really fully prepared for a business because everyone's different. But I think just researching and being as ready as you possibly can will then prevent a lot of problems in the future.
Hey, how's it going? I'm your host, Shuang Esther Shan, back with a new episode of Shopify Masters, your companion for starting and building your brand. In business, we often hear it's all about who you know. But how do you go about finding the right people to create a network that fuels your growth? Well, Etienne Ortega is my guest today. He'll share how he went from living out of his car to creating iconic makeup looks for celebrities like Christina Aguilera, Lana Del Rey, and Kali Uchi. Now, after years of trial and error, Etienne has launched his own direct-to-consumer beauty brand, Ortega. He's proven to the world that where you come from does not dictate where you are going. Etienne, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's such an honor to have you on. We are huge fans, and also we understand beauty has been a huge part of your life ever since you were a kid. You loved watching your mom apply her makeup. You loved experimenting with looks, putting on makeup for friends. How did you find yourself in that moment where you were deciding to pursue this professionally?
Yeah, I mean, my love for beauty really started when my sister was born. You know, I was 11 and I have two younger brothers. So I always kind of begged my mom for like a little sister. You know, it's like all I ever wanted at the time. And then, you know, she was born and me having to take care of my siblings growing up and getting them to school. You know, by the time my sister started preschool or kindergarten, I had to walk her to school every day. So I would have to do her hair and dress her, and same with my two younger brothers. So I think that's where it started. Not even thinking of anything, to be honest. It was just like, oh, I like this. I like doing her hair and stuff. And, you know, by the time I got to high school, I was going to the barbershop to get a haircut like once a week. So this lady, Hilda, she was so busy. It would be like, okay, I could cut your hair, but it's going to be about 3 hour wait. And I would be like, no problem. Like, and I would sit there and just watch her do her job, you know, her work. And I was so fascinated by it that further led into my interest in beauty to then, you know, having my friends for prom and starting to mess around with makeup and both hair and makeup. And I was like, I could do your guys' hair and makeup. And I would, you know, I'd have like a line of girls outside my house, like on a Saturday morning for prom, and I'd charge them, you know, $10 a person. And that was like my little spending money that I had. Yeah.
It sounds like it was very organic. You were drawn to this interest and you find yourself getting more and more involved in beauty. And in the early days, you were managing a lot with school, your work, and also trying to start up this career in makeup. How did you manage to be scrappy and make sure that you were making ends meet to balance all those responsibilities at the same time?
I feel like having so many responsibilities at such a young age, you know, just in regards to like taking care of three kids for my parents, because, you know, they were out working. They used to leave the house at 4 or 5 in the morning. So I feel like it's kind of like all I've ever known, you know, and I think as the oldest child, that's kind of like what just happens to the oldest child, I find in most cases. So I think it taught me to just not necessarily balance, but just know how to work under pressure, know how to, you know, multitask between taking care of them, then taking care of myself, walking myself to school, then, you know, getting good grades, blah, blah, blah. So I think it just prepared me to like basically what I'm doing now. And obviously I don't take care of them anymore. They're old enough to take care of themselves. So thank God for that.
Yeah. And I think you were also very responsible for the fact that you immigrated, you were in the States, you were balancing jobs while you're trying to build up a clientele list. How were you managing that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, fast forward to me graduating high school, and I didn't really know what I was going to do because my dad, like a traditional, you know, parent, just wanted me to go to college and get an education. And I just knew that early on that it wasn't for me. Like, I love and respect school, but I wanted to do something that I wanted to do. By the time I graduated high school, I was so kind of not experienced, but I was doing it so much. Like, people were actually hiring me, like my friends' moms and stuff. So it was just kind of like a no-brainer for me to go to LA. So then once I came to LA and went to beauty school, I was just dying to get out of school because I wanted to work so much and I just wanted to make my own money and be independent. But that was a lot. Yeah, it was a lot to balance just because, I mean, at the time, you know, no money. Sometimes I'd definitely sleep in my car because I didn't want to commute back to Ventura County for like gas purpose or, you know, just not enough funds. I think just loving what I do just has always been like the fuel to my fire. I wasn't going to let anything really stop me or feel bad for myself. I was a young kid. I was just like so hungry that I was like, okay, this is what I got to do. Let's do it. And then we'll figure it out tomorrow. And then, you know, that's just been how I've rolled with it.
Yeah. And I think oftentimes as artists, whether in beauty or in other mediums, there's such a heavy investment on your end where you have to invest in a kit, you have to invest time, and you're still trying to support yourself to get into this industry. So what advice do you have for those people who are in the early stages where they have to invest into this career to be able to build up a clientele list and to stay kind of financially responsible, motivated, and also optimistic all at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, I would say everything you just said, but definitely invest in yourself and your kit. Because, you know, at the time, it just feels like I remember going to our beauty supply store here in North Hollywood called Nigel's. And I remember a friend was like, you have to try this Makeup Forever foundation. And I was like, oh, my God, it's like amazing, but it's like I can't afford it. So I went and like I got a credit card or something for like $200, like at the time. And I bought 3 foundations, you know. Fast forward, you know, to like 10 years plus later, Makeup Forever hired me to do like a bunch of campaigns for them. I got to travel to London and Paris and work with the brand. And I remember just walking into that set that day, just remembering like, you know, I bought 3 foundations. Look how like full circle that was for me. That at the time I was so scared to invest in something, but you know, it ultimately comes back to you, you know, and anything you do, invest yourself in, whether it's your kit, your education, your well-being, you know, doing good things will always come back, I feel.
Yeah. Throughout your career, it's not just the amazing brand, but also the A-list celebrities that are a part of your clientele. What is your advice for networking, building up a great network of advocates who are telling their friends to also seek out your services?
I think like anything in life, you have to build a strong foundation. And for me, I always found myself to be disciplined in my workspace. Like I, you know, like the importance of just simply being on time, you know, obviously giving it 150%. At the time when I had no celebrities or, you know, not even like a full clientele, that was my patterns. You know, I was showing up on time, being responsible, being respectful. And I feel like, you know, just applying those things that actually just cost nothing take you so far in life, you know, because I'm still the same exact way. And I've clients 10 plus years and, you know, some of the most iconic women in the world that I'm so grateful and lucky to get to work with. So I think that's my foundation to success. Like I just don't have any secret sauce for you. You know, there's no shortcuts or cheating. I've just done the work. You know, I used to stay at the salon when I used to work there at 18 and stay 2 extra hours and take walk-ins and just say yes to everything, you know, versus some other people. It's like, oh, it's 6 o'clock. I'm just going to go. There's like nothing. And I just wait around and like, you know, people would come in the salon and I'd take them. I'd do a blowout or makeup. And I think that just, I don't know, the universe responds to that. You know, I really, really do believe that the universe sees everything and gives back.
very, very practical advice. And I think our listeners will love to also hear one of your first big breaks was working with Eva Longoria and how that really opened the doors for you. Yeah, talk to us about that meeting and also the growth of your career after that as well.
Yeah, that was definitely a very special time in my life because I had worked at the salon for maybe a year and a half. And while being there, actually saying yes to people, like I said, you know, and not settling, led me to meeting a beautiful, great woman named Birgit. Birgit was very loyal. She loved my work. And eventually, you know, she started to refer me, like, let me refer you to my friend and, you know, non-famous people. And then eventually she introduced me to somebody that was best friends with Eva. Her name's Maria Bravo. I love her. She went to dinner with her the night I got to do her hair and makeup. And Eva asked her, who did your hair and makeup? And it was me. And basically, I think in the next few days, I was like at Eva Longoria's house at 5 o'clock in the morning, ready to do like a morning show. And I was like 21 years old, you know? So it was like, looking back, I was like, maybe I wasn't ready to be like doing celebrities. But I mean, I got there for some reason and the opportunity, you know, was there and I took it and, you know, she loved me and I'm always going to be grateful for Eva because she really opened a lot of doors for me. And then, you know, at the time I started Instagram and social media kind of blew up. So through my work with Eva, a lot of other women started to notice me, you know, so then it went up from there.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people would feel like, well, how do you build those relationships where people want to be advocates for you and they return, bring in more clientele for you and they're really out there acting as this word of mouth for your services? Again, I know that previously you said there's no secret sauce, but I guess like, what do you feel like has attributed to your success for all those years that the network keeps on expanding itself?
You know, I think everything I mentioned earlier, but I continue to exercise my craft all the time. I never feel like I'm the best. Makeup changes often and new trends. And as you get older, I feel like it's very easy to get stuck in like the way you did makeup 10 years ago or something. But for me, it's like a constant like, okay, I got to try this. I want to do that. And always kind of fueling myself, my inspiration to then serve my clients like new vibes, you know, like, let's try this. Like, I mean, Christina is a great example of like, I look back at 10 years ago when we started and to now I'm like, wow, we both have grown, you know, she looked beautiful back then, but also my work has gotten better. Therefore, I could make them look better and feel better. You know, because it's not just like an art, but like it's a feeling that you get to transmit to these people, to these women.
Yeah. And for our listeners, that's certainly Christina Aguilera. Very cool to see how she's involved and how your artistry have evolved as well. And I think that's advice applicable to any industry because you constantly do have to stay curious in order to just keep growing and learning. Very, very excited to chat about this new chapter within your career, which is launching your own brand, Ortega. But right now, I would love to take a moment to thank you, our listeners, for tuning into the show. Wherever you're listening or getting your podcast, make sure you are following Shopify Masters. If you haven't already, write us a review. It really helps others to discover the show as well. And we love hearing from you. So thank you so much. Of course, there's a lot of makeup artists in the space that would collaborate with beauty brands, work together to create products or limited edition drops, but you did want to create your own brand and your own products. What was behind that decision?
I think as a dreamer, I've always thought of the idea of a brand someday. And my first initial idea was back in like 2015. I was like, I'm doing well, like I should really look into it. And you know, there was a few people that were like, maybe not now, maybe wait, which I kind of regret listening to, by the way. Just times have changed, but, you know, ultimately, I guess timing is everything. But in 2019, I just revisited the idea of starting my own brand. And for me, I've been in this industry for 17 years. So it's kind of like, what's the next chapter of Etienne Ortega look like? You know, because as much as I love what I do, there's also a part of me that's like, well, I'm getting older and I'm going to get older. And I got to think like about my life and like, do I want to have kids? Do I want to get married? You know? So I think for me, a brand was like a no-brainer in the sense of, you know, it's getting into business. It's not only artistry. Now it's like, I got to put on my businessman hat on. Yeah, think further about life. You know, I'd love to be successful and make money so I don't have to worry and then have more time for myself or my family, you know? So there's a lot of things I thought of prior to launching the brand. It wasn't really just like about like, I want a brand, you know, like everything I do in my life and my career is very like thought out and I put a lot of intention into what I do. Obviously, as an artist, it's just the most fun thing to get to build some products and create your own visuals, you know, versus, you know, when I get hired to work for other brands and companies, I'm working for them. Now I work for myself and I get to see a lot of my ideas come to life. And I just really wanted to put that out because it's like an extension of me, you know, it's like me launching a brand is just sharing another part of who I am as a person, as an artist.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you had both sides of the coin when you were deciding this is a great extension of your expression. And also there's that practical side where you do want to extend your career, build a business and build a brand. Talk to us about conceptualizing the brand identity, finding the iconic blue color, and also finding that kind of hero ingredient in blue agave and how everything kind of perfectly tied in within itself as well.
You know, everything has rolled out so organically for me. To give you a little backstory on the brand, it's just, I know people think it just came out of nowhere, but you know, I started this project in 2019. And I had a few partnerships that just didn't work out for all the right reasons, to be completely honest. So I actually started over about 3 to 4 times prior to launching. So it's a, you know, on the business side of it, it's just a different animal that I've had to learn kind of the hard way, but I'm grateful for all the lessons because I feel like now I'm more prepared and I'm more aware of a lot of things. But yeah, it didn't come easy. The color blue, to me, it reminds me, you know, of the sky. It reminds me of water. It reminds me of purity. My brother's favorite color has always been baby blue. And I also thought about him a lot for some reason throughout the process. And I also thought like, you know, what's going to make me stand out and look different? Because there's so many gorgeous brands out there, and I'm such a fan of so many founders and brands, but I was just like, what am I going to do? So I think the blue color just, I didn't see it out there in any brands. Like I haven't still, but I was like, this is not something I've seen in the beauty space. So I'm going to do blue and stick to it. And then the, you know, the development process, like I said, I kind of started over 3 or 4 different times. And from each experience, I just kind of took what I needed to, you know, all the positive things. And so the brand, you know, was by the second round, I was like, you know, I had more of a good idea. Then that experience added more. Then the third round just added much more. So it just kind of kept growing as like, you know, what I really wanted. Different players came in and gave me perspectives and things that I, you know, that I'll take with me to then finally now launching, you know. And while I was in product development, my product development person just, you know, she had a lot of insight and brought to my attention a lot of cool ingredients. And the blue agave came around and I was like, oh my God, I love that because it ties into where I was born, which is Jalisco, which is where agave is from. And then the packaging blue, I was like, oh my God, blue agave. Like it's all just so organic. I mean, I just love the ingredient in general. It just has so many amazing benefits that it was like a no-brainer. And of course, just creatively, it just ended up being amazing to work with because, and you know, our sets and in all the videos I've created, you'll see, you know, the water and the hints of blue and the agaves and all that.
Well, for sure, because as an outsider, we only see the beautiful baby blue packaging. We can hear the story about the blue agave, but they probably would never know that you went through 3-4 iterations of finding the right partners and redoing this concept over and over again. Again, we chatted with your business partner, Eric, as well. Talk to us about finding the right people to work with and, yeah, the process of knowing this is the right person for me to actually build a business together. And he possesses those qualities that I look for people who I trust with my brand.
Yeah, I think having all those experiences, you know, with the past partners just further like allowed me to think about what I really want and what really means a lot to me. And what means a lot to me in everything I do is being authentic and just always being myself and being honest and not just like trying to sell you something, you know, like everything I do just has a deeper meaning for myself. And a lot of people could see that and it translates, but you know, business isn't friendly. And that's like a hard lesson that I've had to learn. It's not friendly. And there's going to be people out who are out for themselves and which is fine, by the way, like more power to you. But for me, it's important to have people around me that I could trust, that I could share my vision and they see the vision and want to work alongside myself to like make this happen, you know. And with Eric, he's been a friend of mine for 15 years. So after, you know, going through a lot of different partners and stuff, I reached out to him, you know, and just because he's a good guy and he's a hard worker and he was, you know, interested in this opportunity with me. You know, we make a great team because he likes to work and he likes to learn. And because this is also like a new world for him, you know, he doesn't come from beauty. So we're having to figure a lot of things out. But, you know, it's fun because we're babies and I know that we're going to do great things together. And it's just important for me to have someone like him who I could trust and who gets me and we get each other and we work, you know, in a positive manner. So that's a good foundation for me to have. Then I could feel like I could take over, you know, the world if I have good support.
Through that experience, what have you learned to know that maybe certain proposals or certain partnerships might not be the right ones? And what do you actually look for the right partnership to sign up on?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, like outside of just feeling protected by, you know, a higher power, a lot of these partnerships I had, they kind of dissolved by themselves. Like they just organically didn't work out. And I, now that I look back at it, I'm so grateful that they did because it led me, I think, to the right place. But some advice is just, you know, pay attention, like read your contracts, read anything you sign, just read it before you sign it. Make sure you do your research on who, you know, you're getting in bed with because, yeah, ultimately, you know, I'm the founder. It's my name. It's my 17 plus years of hard work. So, you know, you have to value yourself and pay attention to what other people's intentions or wants are, and then just make smart choices to make sure that you don't end up in a bad place.
Definitely. Yeah, that mutual trust and also that shared curiosity and dedication. Well, being babies together, I know that you had to go through formulation, sourcing, issuing a production run. What's your advice for doing all of those things for the first time?
Oh my God, it's, you never know what you're getting into. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I was like, yeah, we'll produce, we'll put packaging, but there's so much more. It's just, it's such a process. It is fun, but there's so many things that I didn't realize that went into it, and a lot of money as well, you know? So it's even just for the shipping, it's like so expensive to get these pallets flown from country to country. It's wild. But yeah, I would say do as much homework as you can. Do as much research as you can. If you know other founders, if you have friends with businesses, pick their brain, ask them. Because you're never really fully prepared for a business, because everyone's different. Everyone, you know, sells different things or has different followings or, you know, platforms. But I think just researching and being as ready as you possibly can will then prevent a lot of problems in the future.
Has there been a big hurdle for you that caught you off guard, but for Eric and yourself, you were able to find a solution?
I mean, yeah, it's a lot of, I don't want to say hurdles, but like, I think it's in business, it's a continuous problem solving, you know? Like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to, like, what PR boxes are we sending? Now we need a list. Now we need labels. Now we, you know, it's just kind of like, it never ends really in business, I find. But I think, you know, keeping your eye on the price, and like, there's a lot of reward into it as well. Like when you know you worked so hard on packaging and formulas and stuff, and then you see people, like once it's out to the world, it's like they respond to it with, you know, well, at least for me, it's been so positive. And people will often come up to me like, wow, like you've done so amazing. And in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, if you only knew what, you know. So I'll take it. I'll take that love and support, because it makes me feel like I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah, definitely sounds like you got to get comfortable with problem solving. And of course, Ortega is in its early days. You have to get the word out. You spoke about PR boxes. What are some marketing or PR campaigns or moves you've done that has really helped the brand?
Yeah, I mean, going back into, you know, what I was saying earlier, just about the work ethic and the respect and professionalism, I've just been so lucky and blessed to like build relationships as, you know, as I've gotten bigger in my career, but I've also have a community of artists that I could call my friends who are very successful as well. We've all came up together, and just having their support and stuff, it's really helped me. And it wasn't like I planned, because a lot of people reach out to these big influencers and big artists, but they all happen to just be my natural friends. So it was very easy for me to just be like, hey guys, can I have your address? Like, I'm creating my PR list. And then, you know, I did all that myself. So yeah, I get to have that organically, which is really amazing.
Yeah, that's a testament to your years of building up, the fact that you were dedicated to your craft, and that reputation is not built overnight. The network is not built overnight. It's truly a reflection of how you work and how you interact with people for all those years. The other side of it, which might be surprising to people, is Ortega is also self-funded, and this was a decision that you and Eric have made. Why was that important for you at this stage?
I mean, it's kind of like the way it all just worked out. All the past partnerships were like, you know, multi-million dollar deals and stuff. But, you know, it just didn't work out. And I think for this, you know, I don't know, for this round, it just felt like, okay, like, let's just invest our money. Like, I mean, thankfully, you know, I'm in a place where I was able to do that. And so was Eric. So, you know, and at the end of the day, like, we're babies, like this brand is like a newborn child. So we don't have to try to get, you know, from A to Z in a day or in a month or in a year. You know, it's like, I think we left room to grow, you know, and that's why starting off just by ourselves, I think it was the best thing for us. Also, we don't have a full range line You know, it's just small collections. So, you know, we're learning the whole process. So I think by the time, you know, we explore investors or retail or a lot of things, like, we might be in a much better place, you know, and we own 100% of our company.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that because, you know, these previous deals that did come with a pretty investment, which might sound great on paper, but it probably also comes with restrictions and limitations on your creative freedom and things like that. So, yeah, like, was there some of that in that decision making to stay completely free and independent?
I mean, as a creative, it's not the most ideal thing because if I could have a, you know, 100,000 photo shoot budget, I would love that. But we don't, you know, and I mean, we can, but that's not very smart, you know? So this is where that resourceful person that I am of just like, that's also, you know, learned so much about lighting and cameras and angles and concepts, like, throughout my career. It really came in handy, you know, because I didn't spend tons of money on everything you see. Like, you know what I mean? I had to budget to such a small teams, yet we made it look like we had big budgets. And people will say that all the time. They're like, wow, that looks like you spent so much money on that. And, you know, this, and I'm like, well, we did spend money, but we made a little bit, you know, we made something look really big when it was like a small little team.
Being financially responsible, but maxing out on the impact of your work. I love that. And I'm sure you're thinking about retail partnerships, maybe different ways to grow. What's your philosophy when you're thinking about that right now?
Oh, you know, it's very overwhelming because we've had such a great response and we've had a lot of people that are interested, you know, in like a lot of different things. But I think for me right now, it's again, I'm still learning a lot. So I just want to keep learning and explore each avenue, you know. So when we get to retail, like, what do I want? Like, where do I want to be? Where do I see myself? And how will we get there? So right now I couldn't tell you the answer because I still want to learn and do my research. You know, now it's like a different level. It was like before, it was like prior to the launch. Now it's like we've launched. So like, I got to play my cards right with the next bunch of moves. I'm hoping, you know, by next year we could start being somewhere in retail for sure.
That's very exciting. And the other part of the business that your customers or listeners might not know about was also the amount of thought you put into developing the products and pricing them, because you wanted to find that right balance for accessibility for your fans as well. So share some philosophy regarding pricing, because I feel like a lot of people don't talk about that side of things.
I wanted my line to be luxury, but I also wanted my line to be accessible to people, you know, to like the type of people I grew up with and went to high school with and stuff. Like, I want everyone to be able to afford it. And it's still luxury, which, by the way, like, these formulas, you know, they weren't cheap. They're really well done. Our packaging is really beautiful and well done. So you're getting like the most for your money. You know what I mean? Like, you're definitely getting your money's worth with our products, just because I know, you know, there's products out there that are like, you know, $70, like something, which is like good for them. Like, that's, you know, how they did their thing. But I really want everyone to have mine.
I feel like we've gone through so much in this conversation about your career, from aspiring to be a professional artist within beauty to growing your clientele to building your own brand. I guess, what are some new dreams you would like to accomplish for the future of Ortega?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to, you know, use this platform as much as I can. Obviously, you know, get into retail and be worldwide would be such a dream, to continue to share like just who I am, even though I don't share that much personally, but I feel like I share it through my work. You know, my storytelling all comes through my work, through my shoots and concepts. And I mean, you know, I just honestly, like I went through testicular cancer in 2021, and which was a very rough experience for me, but also a blessing because it just has taught me so much about life and the things that are really important. And I think as I get older, I just am more and more aware of those things every day. And I know that success will keep coming because it's just who I am. So I don't doubt a little bit of myself. But now there's like another layer of focus, which is me, you know, me just as a human being. Like I know I'm going to have that, but like, what do I look like in 10 years? You know, am I going to be exhausted and miserable? Like, I have to think of that as well, and kind of just marry both lives, you know, the professional life and the personal life. And because, you know, since I've been working since I was a kid, and whether it was raising my brothers or, you know, leaving home at 17 to pursue my dreams, like I have not stopped, I mean, at all. So I think now it's a good time for me to reflect and just be like, okay, like now I want to like take my mom on a trip, you know, and being that she's been there for me so much, like I want to have community and like, and I already do have a community, but I just want more meaningful things in life, you know? So I'm just excited that, you know, I'm going to be 36 in September, and I'm just, yeah, I'm so excited just about like my brand and my career, you know, continuing as strong as they have. And I'm excited to take care and nourish myself a lot more now too.
Yeah. I'm sorry that you had to go through that health journey, but also I think what you're saying about reflecting not just about business goals, but what you want personally as well is so important, because I think once you take your care of yourself, that's when you're able to actually build a great brand and build a great team. So thank you so much for sharing your journey with us today, Etienne.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's if you can't take care of yourself, you know, you can't really perform like at 100, you know, so I'm looking forward to that. And yeah, we'll see what happens. But outside of this, like I would definitely, like I have so many other dreams and goals. Like I still want to go to music school and like learn how to play the piano and maybe learn how to make music too, like just with like electronically with like stuff. So I don't know. There's a lot of things.
I love that. I think that forever curious kid is always within us. And I think we should definitely look into all the things that we find fascinating and just keep on learning. So thank you so much for being here, Etienne.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Etienne Ortega, the founder of Ortega. Our show is produced by Gogo Zoger and Megan Coyle. Our engineers are Matt Schwartz and Miku Bellum. Benjamin Gottlieb is our managing producer. And I'm your host, Shuang Esther Shan. Come back every Tuesday and Thursday to catch a brand new episode of Shopify Masters. And if you're still listening, go ahead and share this episode with another founder. Thank you so much.